Thank you. You may be seated. God is so faithful. You know, it says in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. And I just want to share with you tonight the faithfulness and the mercies and the compassions of our Lord in my life. And I want to share just a short testimony because it has to do with what I want to share with you tonight. The pastor asked me to share with you a couple weeks ago. And I felt privileged that he would ask me to share with this congregation. But there came a fear upon me. And I didn't understand that. Because I love to preach and I love to teach. And I've done it many times. And so I didn't feel like it was a stage fright. And I've spoken in front of large bodies, but I couldn't figure it out. There was a fear that gripped me, and something kept saying to me, well, what would you say? What would you have to say? Just think of something right now. What would you have to share with them? And I couldn't think of anything. And I began to worry about that, and then the time came for me to share, and I had put together something, and then the Spirit of God came down and touched Ron Kitchell, and things, as you know, kind of got moved around that weekend, so I didn't have to worry about it. And that bothered me too. Why was I so happy that I didn't get to preach? But I went before the Lord because it was serious with me. It was serious. And I went before the Lord and I began to look at ourselves as we had been here at Community Chapel and coming from Albuquerque. And I look back and I remember that it hasn't always been easy for us to move in with what was going on here. And yet we came to deliverance, and you were right in the midst of it back in August when we came, and we came to the mass deliverances, and every time they'd call out something, I'd stand up and I'd feel good about it and sit back down. They'd call out something else and I'd stand up again, and I felt like God delivered me of many, many things. And I felt freed. And yet, there was still something there. There was a hindrance there. And so, even with more prayer, and Bob Goss and other brothers would pray, and we prayed for the judgmental spirit and a critical spirit and a spirit of unbelief and a spirit of doubt and a spirit of skepticism and all those things. And I felt that I didn't have any problem in those areas. And yet, I kept wondering, what was it? What was it that caused me to have a fear of getting up before this assembly and sharing the things that God had placed on my heart? And then, not too long ago, when our pastor was over in Europe and in Greece, and I think it was a Friday night service, and he was coming back the next week, in about a week, and I was sitting down here in worship time, and all of a sudden, while we were in worship, I just saw a vision, and I saw a vision of our pastor, and I just saw him from the neck up. And he was just looking at me, and he said, pray for me. And that's all he said. It was just, pray for me. And then it was gone, just like that. And I didn't share this with anybody. And I just kept worshiping the Lord, and I kept pondering that, and said, what did it mean?
Because our sound is so poor right now, you need to slide that mic a little closer to you.
Okay, thank you. I said, what did that mean? I mean, why would that vision come to me? And what should I do about it? Should I pray? And something came and said, no, you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray for him. There are others here who would pray. The elders can get up and pray for him if he needs prayer. And so I sat right there, and I didn't do anything. And I thought about that same night I went before the Lord. And I said, there's something I've got to do about this. And then it just happened that same night that the vision came to me. Jack Hicks got up after the service. You remember that? And he said, we got a call from Don. And he said, I want you to pray for us. See? And my heart was just crushed. And I said to myself, why didn't I get up? Why didn't I get up here and lead that prayer for our pastor? He's my pastor, just as much as he's your pastor, and I can get up and pray for him. But something held me down. And so we came on a mass deliverance a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the Branham film. And my wife and I sat there after the film, and I looked over at her, and I said, do you want to go to the mass deliverance? And she said, well, yeah, we probably should go. And I said, well, we could go home. And she said, yeah, we could go home. And so we got up and we walked out and we were going to the parking lot. And I said, you think we ought to go home? And she said, well, we could go to the mass deliverance. And I said, you know, we better go to the mass deliverance because the devil doesn't want us to go tonight. And so we came and we just went in the back and we didn't see anybody we knew. And yet I knew I had to be prayed for. I just knew I had to be prayed for because I just didn't have the discernment to know what was wrong, what was preventing me from entering in and being able to share with this body. And so we grabbed a couple back here, and a lovely young couple that we'd never really met before, and we said, would you like to pray with us? And they said, yes, we'd like to pray with you. And we went in the back, and we laid down, and we talked with each other for a little while to get to know each other. And then I said, I want you all to pray for me. And I said, I really don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that's wrong, but I'm having a problem, and I've had it ever since I've been here, and I can think of all these things that I've been delivered of, but there's still a hindering spirit, and I don't know what to call it, I don't know what it is, and I have not been successful in coming against it, and would you just begin to pray for me, whatever it is, whatever comes to your mind. And so they began to pray for me. And this young lady, she said, let me ask you a couple questions, because there's something that's come to my mind. And she said, were you from a small fellowship? And I said, yes, I was. And she said, uh-huh. She said, what was your role there? And I said, I was a pastor. And she said, uh-huh. I thought that's what it was. She said, you know, she says, there's a spirit of denominationalism that keeps coming to my mind. And I said, denominationalism? I don't even know what that is. I said, we weren't really a denomination. You know, if that's what you're talking about. And she said, well, I don't know, but it keeps coming to my mind. It keeps coming to my mind. And I said, all right, let's pray. Let's pray against it. If that's what it is and you think it is, let's pray against it because I want to get rid of it. And we began to pray. Began to pray against the spirit of denominationalism. Now, let me hasten to say that I have nothing against denominations. We need a common denominator. We need to believe alike as long as we have the truth. Okay? But as we prayed against the spirit of denominationalism, all of a sudden, in my mind, the word clergy began to appear. Clergy. And then all of a sudden it was the spirit of a clergy. And it was just as clear as could be. And then all of a sudden I began to rebuke that. And I said, you spirit of clergy, that's what it is. That's what it is. You spirit of clergy, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, all of a sudden I had the peace of the Lord. And I just began to laugh. And I felt like God had just come down and touched me and rooted that thing out. And you know what? After that happened, and we just sat there a while and we began to talk about this, you know, I said, I would have never thought of that. But you know what it was? You see, in the church background that I was in, and many of them are the same way, the pastor did everything. I mean, the pastor did all the preaching. The pastor did all the counseling. If it was a real small church, the pastor taught the adult Sunday school class. And Don, I know you probably know what I'm talking about. And the pastor did all of the calling. He did all of the witnessing. He did all of the selection of people to work. He had to go out and recruit people to work in the Sunday school and all these things. And so the pastor did everything. And even though I would have never thought in my whole life that that had affected me, it did. It had. It took over. And you see, when I came into this environment, I wasn't a pastor anymore. I was just somebody that sat in a pew, and we had a pastor, and we had elders, and the pastor did all the teaching, and the elders did everything else, and anybody in authority. And you see, I didn't have any problem receiving from the pastor. I didn't have any problem receiving from the Bible teachers when they got up. But you know who I had problems with? Just somebody who didn't have any authority around here. Just somebody that had come up, and I didn't have any problem with the testimonies they would give, but whenever they brought forth a teaching, you see, and began to have a role of authority in the body and began to exhort the body, I really took offense to that. I said to myself, what's he doing up there? How come he's telling the music ministry that they can go down and sit now? How come he's saying the service is over? What's he doing up there? Where's our pastor anyway? And I'd look over and say, well, he's not doing anything about it. Why didn't he do anything about it? I don't understand this. You see, that's what it was. That's what it was. And so that's why I had the fear when the pastor asked me to share. And that's why I thought, well, I don't have anything to share. Because I'm just an ordinary member here. I'm not a pastor any longer. The pastor is supposed to do that. But praise God. I'm here. Look at me. I'm up here tonight. And I'm going to give you the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a short message tonight, and basically I want to talk to the young people of Community Chapel, and that's everybody younger than I am, okay? That's a lot of you. Now, I've been around just a little bit, and I don't mean that in an arrogant or boastful way, but I know what's being taught out there, because I've been a part of it, and I've heard a lot of it. I've been one of those people that listened to the radio preachers and read all the commentaries and got my wisdom and understanding of the Word of God from many, many different sources. And so I know what's being taught out there. And praise God that all of my Christian life, and that hasn't been too long, that God has been very faithful in putting a curiosity within me and my wife to want to know more about God's Word and not really being willing to accept just what everybody said just because they said it. And I even ministered with different brothers in the Lord who would have a particular opinion about a scripture, and it just didn't add up to me. And I would always question, and I always wonder, and I wouldn't be satisfied when they told me that things like the spiritual gifts ended in the first century, even though that's what the church I ministered believed. And so God has always given me a curiosity about His Word and wanting to go on, wanting to understand. And it's taken many years to get to the point where we are right now, to Community Chapel. But let me tell you something, and I really mean this, and I know that this is true, that you have right here truth. This is God's Word in truth that is being brought to you. There isn't any place else you need to go. And I mean that sincerely, because I've looked into different colleges and seminaries and advanced teaching schools and things of that nature. And let me tell you something, there isn't any place else. There isn't any place you can go that I know of on the face of this earth that I know of that you could get any deeper truth than what you got right here. Now, I want you to consider that a privilege, because I don't know whether all of you know that or not. I don't know whether all of you know what's being brought forth out there. You see? And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I want you to take advantage of what you've got right here. You don't need to look anywhere else. You're going to get filled up with the truth of God. Now, let me tell you something else. And this really concerns me, and I want to exhort you tonight, and I want to encourage you tonight. There's a world out there that is starving for truth. There are brothers and sisters in the Lord, I mean in the Lord, born-again believers, Spirit-filled believers, that have not received all the revelation and truth of God that you're getting right here. And I want to encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters, that I don't want you to wait any longer than you feel necessary before you get out there and you give them the truth. Now, I know there's places to go. I know there's fellowships. I think of the Albuquerque Fellowship right now because I was a part of it. And I think of those people who left because of the lie of the devil. But I want to tell you something. Those people have a heart for God. And they left because they allowed the devil to come in and deceive them with a lie. Now, that's not the first time it's happened, is it? But I want to tell you something. They have a heart for God. And there are brothers and sisters in that fellowship that have left that if they really knew and understood what was going on right here at Community Chapel, this would be the very place they would be. In fact, this is exactly what most of them have been looking for all of their life. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, tonight that I want you to get on so on fire with the truth of God that you've got, that I don't want you to hang around here any longer than you feel necessary. When God puts a call in your life, you heed it, you understand it, you obey it, and you go, because it's too good. It's too good just to stay right here with. Now, tonight I want to share with you, just very briefly, from Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. And I've entitled this very short message, The way of man is not within himself. The way of man is not within himself. God placed a call on Jeremiah's life in the first chapter of Jeremiah. And we don't know a whole lot about Jeremiah, his theological training, what his background was. All we know is that he was probably a young man. And I don't know whether he lacked confidence in himself, but God placed a call on his life, because in the sixth verse of chapter 1, God placed a call and he answered, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He said, "I'm too young, God, I can't go." God wouldn't accept that excuse, because he said in the seventh and eighth verses, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Now, there's some of you, I feel, that think that you're too young for the ministry. In fact, I don't want to embarrass this young man, and I don't even know his name, but I remember when I came here back in August, I sat next to a young man, and I asked him if he went to Bible college, and he said, "Yes." And I said, "Did you graduate?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "What are you going to do now?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. I think I'm still going to go to school." And I said, "Well, are you going through the master's program?" And he said, "No, I've already got that." And I said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" And he said, "Well, I think I'm going to go back and take some courses over again." And I thought to myself, and I didn't say this to him because I had no right to that, and I really am not judging now, but I thought to myself, oh, brother, there are so many people out there that need to hear God's truth. Brother, don't go through it again. You don't need to go through it again. Brother, you've got it right now. Brother, you've got it right now. Get out there and get busy and share it with those." And so maybe Jeremiah was like that because he thought he was too young. But don't worry about where you're going to go. It's God's message you're going to bring. Don't be afraid of man's response. The Lord says, "I am with you, Jeremiah." And so Jeremiah went. God placed a call on Moses' life. Remember what Moses said? He said, "Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm a man of slow speech and slow of tongue." He hadn't taken homiletics yet, and so he wanted to wait one more semester. But you know what the Lord said? He said, "Moses, who hath made man's mouth?" Isn't that right? He said, "Moses, if I made your mouth, I can speak through it. And Moses, I have a mission for you." And so Moses went. There was a man named George Williams. Who? George Williams. He and a friend of his one night were walking across the Blackfriars Bridge in London in 1844. He'd been stirred in his heart by the writings of the American evangelist Charles Finney. His friend was named Beaumont, and Williams turned to Beaumont and he said, "Are you prepared to make a sacrifice for Christ?" It would be a sacrifice of service to young men by young men like themselves, and both were about 23 years old. Their primary objective would be to help young men achieve victory over temptation. And above all else, and I quote, "to transform their character and life through a personal allegiance to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior." As they crossed over the bridge that night, little did they know that their conversation that night would make history and would change many lives over the course of the next several hundred years. How many of you know who George Williams was? George Williams was the founder of the YMCA. And even though the YMCA has long since lost its purpose and allegiance to Jesus Christ, for over 100 years, disciples were made and lives were changed to a personal allegiance to Jesus Christ by a young man who was 23 years old, who had no theological training at all, was only converted 6 years prior to that. And it said that when he went to work at a draper's shop, which is a clothing store or a clothing manufacturer, that there was hardly a Christian there. But when he left 3 years later, almost the whole place had become Christians. In January 1977, to bring it a little bit closer to home, God placed a call on another man who was 41 years old. And he had no experience and very little theological training, not of the right kind anyway. He wasn't eloquent in speech, But somehow God used him because the man yielded. I'm speaking about myself. I learned since that day in 1977 that God can and will use anybody whose heart is open to him. And over the years, I want to confess to you that I've preached a lot of bad sermons and I've taught incomplete doctrine. I've given much inadequate counsel, but God still used me. And lives got changed and lives got saved and people got filled with the Spirit. And people are following the Lord today. Even as inadequate as I have been, brothers and sisters, God used me. And so I want to encourage you this night to remember Jeremiah and Moses and George Williams and Don Kimbrough and thousands of other men and women throughout history that God has used, regardless of their training, regardless of their experience. God has chosen to use them. Now let me read to you in Jeremiah 10, verses 23 and 24. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Rotherham says, I know, O Yahweh, that not to a son of earth pertaineth his own path, not to the man who walketh also to direct his own steps. Chastise me, O Yahweh, but yet in measure, not in thine anger, lest thou make me few. And the New American Standard says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Now, I think it's interesting here because the context of this whole passage comes in the midst of Jeremiah going forth and preaching the Word of God in a sinful nation. And if you'll see in chapter 10, verse 3, it says that the customs of the people are in vain. And they were cutting trees out of a forest and decorating it and beginning to worship it. And then in verse 9, it says, silver was spread into the plates brought from Tarshish, and gold. And they were working these and making idols out of them and ordaining, putting purple on them and worshiping these. And then if you notice in verse 14, it says, every man is brutish in his knowledge. And that simply means stupid or senseless. And then down in verse 21, it says, even the pastors have become senseless and stupid. And so God sends Jeremiah forth in this context, in this sinful nation, to preach. But I want you to see this. What does he do? What does he do? He says, O Lord, O Lord, O Yahweh, I know that the way of man is not in himself. What is the way of man? It refers to a course of life or mode of action. Jesenius says it points to a journey which one takes, and it's related to the Hebrew verb to tread or to trample, and thus it refers to a well-traveled way or path worn down by constant travel. It refers to the actions of men and behavior of men throughout all the ages. And so it's the rut, it's the well-traveled road that all men and women go through in life. And Jeremiah said that that way is not within man himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And direct here means to set up, to stand erect, to establish, to maintain. What Jeremiah is saying, that man doesn't have the ability within himself to walk a path consistently. Even a crooked one, do you know that? Even a crooked path, man can't walk consistently. And so what's the message here to us? See, if you're waiting till you're good enough, if you're waiting till you know enough, if you're waiting till you're smart enough, if you're waiting till you're anointed enough, you're not going to get there. Because you'll never be there. Because the way of man is not within himself to direct his steps, it says. And so if you're a Bible college student and God's placed a call in your heart to get into ministry and you keep thinking, well, I just don't have enough knowledge of the Bible yet. God wants to use you anyway. And you'll probably never have enough knowledge, brother or sister, to go out and be adequately prepared. But if you go out by faith, God is going to use you. And God is going to teach you. And by experience in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, God is going to use you in ministry. Now I want you to see what Jeremiah says next. And this is interesting. Because you would think that now he would cry out and he would say, rather than chastise me or correct me, he would say, Lord, why don't you just chastise all those people? Why don't you correct all those people, O God? Well, what does he say? He says, Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Now, why does he say, correct me? The word here, in a positive sense, means to instruct or to teach. In a negative sense, it means to punish or to reprove. And so what Jeremiah is crying out to, he said, Lord, correct me. Not punish me, not reprove me, but instruct me and teach me. Because, Lord, the way of man is not within himself. Lord, I don't have it within myself to go out and do what you've asked me to do. Not in this sinful nation. Look at them, Lord. They're worshiping idols. They're in sin. They're in idolatry. Lord, I can't do it. I'm too young. But he said, Lord, I'm going to go. And Lord, I realize that the way of man is not within himself. And so, Lord, I'm going to look to you to correct me. Teach me, Lord. Instruct me, Lord. Because I want that path to be straightened out. And Lord, when you see me get off that path, and I will, then Lord, correct me. Instruct me. Teach me, Lord, so that I can get back on that path and do your will. Do you see the message in Jeremiah? Do you see the message to yourself? What is that? How does that apply to us now? Brothers and sisters, I want you to accept the call that God has placed on your life. I know from experience, I can't hardly wait. I can't hardly wait to go. And I don't want to go too soon, and I'm not going to go too soon, but I'm not going to stay around a long time either, because I've got some truth. I've gotten more truth of God in a few months than I got in the first 7 years of my Christian walk. And I praise God for that, because I've got something to go with now. I've got something to teach and share with those who don't have this truth. There's not very many teaching this truth out there. And I want to encourage you, we'll never do it if just one of us go here and one of us go here, but if all of us get on fire for the Lord and get ready to go and get ourselves prepared and feel that anointing of God coming and that call of God coming, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you go. You just go. You follow the leading of your elders, of course, and your pastor, of course. But when they say you're ready to go, you go, brother. Don't hang around here any longer. This is glory. But let me tell you, the world needs this glory. See? And so I want to encourage you tonight. If there's any of you here tonight, any of you here right now, there's 6 weeks left in school and some of you are going to be graduating. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I do pray one thing for you right now. If you feel the prompting of God and you've got truth on your heart, brothers and sisters, take it. Take it to a fallen world that needs you and needs the Lord's word. And remember this. The way of man is not within yourself. You're not going to make it on your own, but God will. And He'll correct you, and He'll keep you on the straight path, and you'll bring salvation and truth and holiness to a hungry world. Thank you, Lord.
Who down there at work should you be witnessing to? What are you going to do in the restaurants when it comes prayer time? What are you going to do when you're in certain positions? Are you going to be praying about this? We need to bring in many more Bible college teachers. I mean students. You know that? Do you know that? I guess you don't know that. Maybe let me tell you. We need to bring in more Bible college students because we need to get the word in more people. We need to have armies out there that know God's word. We need to get people, this is our calling, to teach the word. We need to load them in and teach them the word, and then send them out, get them in and teach them the word. They need to be going every place they can, giving out the word. And one reason more people aren't called to give out the word is because they haven't opened up to the Lord in those areas. They've been doing other things inside. We've got to get delivered. We've got to get in a love relationship. We've got to get full of God's word. We've got to be witnessing. And then we need to get out. There's all kinds of fellowships everywhere that can be established and people build up in the Lord. Now, would you come, please? Someone, same brothers perhaps, come back, and if you will, please. And you can be dismissed anytime now. You can go to the altars anytime. And as they're playing, bring the background of this message back to you again. Make your way to the altars and so forth. God bless you. The service is dismissed. I love you with all my heart.
I really feel that there are some men here that the Lord is dealing with specifically. And if you feel that, I would encourage you to just come up and stand right around this altar. I think the Lord wants to do something in you specifically tonight. And I believe we need to join together and pray specifically for you. God wants to do something in your heart. He wants to deliver you of some fears. He wants to cement a vision in you. Some of you, He wants to renew the vision that you once had. He wants to give you a plan. He wants to deliver you from fear. He wants to cause His word to come alive in you. He wants that mask on the outside to come off, that those there might see your true inward nature. You love Jesus, and you have much to offer the world, and you have much to offer those who you come in contact with. But the enemy has deceived you and has kept you from being able to let that out. God is going to come tonight and set you free of that, that you might be able to be the testimony and the witness, and that you might be able to be the minister that God has called you to be. Many of you know that you have been called to be ministers, and the Lord would have you to begin to step into that office and minister now, and minister as if you were the voice of God and as if you were the heart of God. But the devil has stifled that in your lives. But no more, brethren. Hallelujah. Today is the day of new beginnings for you. The Lord Jesus is seeing your heart. He is seeing the desperate cry in your life. And He right now wants to set you free if you will just accept the responsibility of being His ambassador. That's all that He's asking of you tonight, is are you willing to allow Him to flow through you, or will you continue to be intimidated by man? And if you say right now, no, Lord, I am willing to be your vessel, you're going to have a new freedom, a new liberty, a new anointing on your life. You're going to have new revelation in your mind, and you're going to find yourself with a new vision, and you're going to find yourself with new power. You're going to find yourself with new strength, and you're going to find the love of God flowing through you just like you have longed for. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we receive it from you right now. For each one of these, oh God, that have their hands and their hearts raised unto you this night, we will not be defeated, oh Lord. You have called these men to the ministry, and ministers they shall be by your strength and in your power. The enemy, you are defeated. You spirits of intimidation, I stand against you right now. In the name of Jesus, you shall no longer intimidate these ministers of God's love and these ministers of God's word. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We stand against you on the authority of God's word. You get out of God's ministers right now. You fear of man. I come against you in the name of Jesus. You let loose of these men of God. You are a liar. They shall have no fear, for God has given them authority, and they shall take that authority. Right now, you are defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, they are willing. Those demons that have lied to them, those demons of unwillingness that have lied to them, we come against you in Jesus' name. You shall no longer deceive them, for they are willing. It is you who is unwilling to let the love of the Lord show forth. Get out of them right now, you unwilling spirits. You can no longer hinder them. You can no longer deceive them. You can no longer lie to their mind. Amen. They are free of you. They are totally free of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let the spirit of revelation rest upon each one of these men, oh God. Come down upon them in new ways, Lord. They can have that love relationship with you. Oh, of course they can, for you have ordained that they carry that love to the ends of the earth. Yes, amen. They will receive all that you have for them, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All cloudiness shall leave from their minds right now. All foreboding spirits, all of those lying, deceiving spirits have got to go in Jesus' name. They shall have the vision of their Lord, and it shall burn brightly within them. They shall have the revelation of the Word of God, and it shall come forth with clarity. They shall have the wisdom of their Lord, and they shall bring it forth with wisdom. They shall bring it forth with love. They shall bring it forth with zeal, and they shall bring it forth with power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We receive it from your bountiful hand, O God. We will go where you want us to go, Lord. We'll be what you want us to be. We'll say what you want us to say. Heavenly Father, we step into your plan this night, and we receive that which you have given us, and we thank and praise you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Ito rosso toki ya shandori abrosso ye dia sikoraboriti ala basiti ala bashanda oria chichi ala bakutro rosso to roma barakia ye dia sito romri ya shandokia ye asito rodo ti ala bakutro rosso ite ala basiti ala bakataya oria shandokia babo iti ala bashandokitie ya ye dia sito ratokia ondo Chando ku I bavarasita I to corato I asato corada I asito ratigia ieri asiti alla lavasha.
Behold, my co-workers, you are called of your God, for you are here, and I have placed you here, for I have put a call upon your lives, and therefore I have drawn you here to this place that I have risen up to train you in my word and in my Spirit, and therefore doubt thou not, for the Lord your God hath made you, and I by Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Just hold just a moment. This is a training center, and God is trying to make hundreds of ministers. He is not calling you all here to just receive and all stay right here. But a lot of ministers, a lot of people want to come, get a little Bible college, and they want to run out dry, uncommitted, full of demons, and unprepared. And others want to just give up because they aren't sent out, and then there's turn their pursuits to building the roots, you know, putting the foundation down in this world. But you see, the building of a minister that God wants is primarily the building on the inside. It isn't just loading data in the brain. It is building something that makes a man of God. Not a person who can remember, but a man of God. Somebody that will not buckle under when the fires hit him. Somebody that will not be compromised. Somebody that will not be intimidated. Somebody that can be consistent. Somebody that has a love for the sheep and he won't fleece them, beat them, ball them out, legalize them, fanaticize him or drag him to the ends of the earth. He won't try to get up and I'm going to really make a, you know, you just can't treat people because I want to do something. Everything's not going to happen the way you want it. Some people, God is trying to make people with a compassion. And there needs to be in your heart a constant crying out to God and decisions for those about you that are dying and in despair, the people in this assembly, as you walk by, are you a minister in Bible college? You should be walking by seeing those sitting here in the aisles. All of your time shouldn't be praying for yourself. All your time shouldn't be running over to Smitty's and having a pancake after the service. There should be going back to individuals and getting with them and saying, how are they doing with the Lord? Have they had an opportunity to be delivered? Are they struggling? What is the difficulty? Those that we see that are slipping out and going over the brink and discouraged and backslidden, there should be going to them. There should be ministering. There should be dozens of people with nobody saying anything to them, ministering to them, trying to win them with a heart and a compassion. Because if you can't love those in this assembly as part of this body that somebody has won to the Lord and they're going under, how can we be concerned about somebody over in someplace else? You can't be. It's just a lie in your own mind, and it's a figment of the imagination that you're going to go out and love souls when you haven't loved souls. Unless you love them, you don't love them. And if you love them, you're going to love them. You're care for them. You're trying to teach them. You're trying to help them. It isn't just giving a Bible study at them. Giving Bible studies at people is not sufficient for ministry. The idea is to get into the hearts of people everything necessary so they can stand and be balanced and fall in love with Jesus. We need to understand correctly what Bible training is already all about and the reasons for it. Too many people want to be able to show that they can teach studies at people and teach them information. This isn't just an information gathering and releasing center. This is a life we're talking about in God that is in preparation for eternal life. And we need to take the theology and we need to turn it into our hearts, let it affect us, and get out and help pastor all these people. You need to help shepherd all these people. We can't do it alone. We can't do it without you. We need your help. We don't need people hurting one another. We need them helping and not just going or have them over to the house and they all sing some songs and they give a few testimonies. I mean, you can do that. It's another mini service, but that isn't really what's changing their life. There's a lot of young people, they want to be used for God, and what do? They copy the big service. They all go and just have a little miniature one, and they copy the big one. You've had a big one, you build up, now we need to go out on a one-to-one basis. And sometimes a two-to-one basis, and a two-to-two basis, and whatever, but we need to get to people in this assembly and meet their needs. And then we also, people outside of the assembly, and draw them and bring them in and win them and help keep them stable. See, we cannot be ministers.
that are loaded with so many faults that we're going to go unto ourselves, and then those that we went to Christ stand and we backslide to want them. That's happening out there. We can't go out and show loads of carnality and loads of sin and get all kinds of marriage problems and get into messes out there. We need to come to the cross. One of the problems is the ministers in training. So many of you have done so wonderful and you're moving with God and you're zealous and you've gotten deliverance. And I'm not talking really to those, but I'm saying to so many that have held back their hearts because they haven't seen the vision. They don't know what God will do with them. And they come and get a little bit of Bible study and they go into a stagnation and they don't really move for God, or they try to just mechanically do things, but they don't let their heart be changed. They don't really get affected. They don't allow themselves to be molded into a man of God. They want to do and stay the same. We can't do and stay the same. We need to be changed. We need to pay prices. We need to come to the cross. We need to get desperate. We need to get desperate about everything we're doing. Deliverance, falling in love with Jesus, witnessing, souls, rescue operations, and not structure operations. We need to quit worrying about people's, they might think this, and how we're going to approach them. And all. We need to come up and love them and bring them in. Not just give them a tract and say, and hold back a nice, polite society type of salesmanship. That's not what we need. We need them to sign in the bottom line. You need to sell them the product. You need to not stop until they have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to love them into the kingdom. You need to love them and teach them and not let them go. And say, brother, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to stick with you until you are giving your life to the Lord. We need to break down those barriers. We need to pray against the demons in the life. We need to, not my religion against yours, not arguing, but win them. And we've got some work to do. We've got some things to be done inside. We've got decisions to make about our lives, about how we conduct ourselves, how we think, the places of entertainment, the world about us. We've got some decisions to make. We can't be in the world and just playing the games. We've got to come out and make things count for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, wait upon the Lord. Meditate upon these things. Do some deep thinking and praying. Don't just come, have an emotional thing tonight, forget it, and it's all over with. Nothing's ever done. So many times that's what happens. And then it's all lost. You need to, from this time on, keep this in your mind, keep it in your memory, put it on your prayer list, be praying about it. Not just, now, Lord, also this item here, blah, 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 prayer, We need to come and say, Lord, I have got to be a man of God. I have got to find out this ministry. Lord, can you trust me with this people? Will I be able to really bring them into what God wants for us? Or can I just give them some studies? Do I have problems in my own life that's going to ruin me out there? Lord, I've got to get rid of these things. I have got to get this thing. We've got to get on with God. And I beseech you to ministers in training. God wants to send you out, and the main reason he hasn't sent many out is they're not in shape to send out. Not in shape to send out. But you are in shape to be ministering to this body and those around you, and get in a position where you're in love with souls, for souls, and you learn how to do it, and when you're ready, God will open a door for you. When you're ready, he will open a door. No sense opening a door now, it'll just entice you. But he will when you're ready for him. So be praying and waiting. Don't say, nobody's called me. He got going, I didn't get a going. How about me? My friend, go on your face and say, I may get called and I may not be ready. I better get ready. I better make decisions. I better come clean with God. They haven't called me yet. One last thing. Nobody's called me yet. And I got all this Bible knowledge. Let me tell you something, oh, full of Bible knowledge. When we see you out weeping for souls, your arms around them at the altars, praying for people hour after hour, when we hear all the people coming and say, oh, that brother has loved me and he's built me, brother, you will not go unnoticed. When that testimony will follow you, and when you're out there showing what you are in Jesus Christ, you're going to be tapped on the shoulder. Show what Jesus is doing in you. Come to the place where people can see that you can take care of souls because you've got the wisdom, you're bringing things right, You've got a balance. You're not pressing in the wrong way, and you're bringing the things they need. There's a lot of learning to do, a lot of wisdom and building on the inside. This thing isn't just learning some things on the outside and going out and establishing a place with 20, 30 people. He wants to build something that's going to build and build and build. Come before God and let Him do the work. Would you play there, please? And while they're playing, you just do now what the Lord wants you to do. If you need to go, you can go. But some of you now need to just come and hide away and keep making some decisions with God. Some need to ask some people to pray for them and come against particular things. Please don't let this go, but be making decisions day by day and week by week. Let this decision stick with you until you're doing what God wants you to do. God is going to use you as a minister in ways you never dreamed. So open your mind up and trust Him for things. Trust Him for pastorships. And don't try to get it all figured out now. Just trust Him for large ministries someday. And just open up and let God do the work.